Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I think it's a good idea that we certainly try to cultivate discernment, use discernment. God is pleased when we use discernment. And living in these last days and living in a time that he described as being very deceptive. And of course, the apostles speak of it as well in the New Testament. And I think as a result of that, we need to recognize that we need discernment. And so thank you for tuning in. And I trust that I can be a little bit of help to you. We've been looking at my series, which I've entitled One World Government, One World Religion, and One World in Deception. And we have looked at several current events that have taken place recently. And the last one that I looked at, number four on my list, is a current event that I'm well familiar with because I used to go to what was known as the Whole Life Expo in Los Angeles several times. It's a New Age event, which now they have an event called the Conscious Life Expo, which, though I haven't attended, I believe it's very similar as I've looked over the speakers and the people associated with it. And I left you last week. We were looking at, we started off really talking about the keynote presenter or the keynote speaker at the Conscious Life Expo, and that was Marianne Williamson. And Marianne Williamson, of course, is a candidate for president on the Democratic Party and a strong promoter of a New Age Bible known as the Course in Miracles. And because of her high profile amongst those who believe in the very anti-Christian New Age movement and New Age spirituality, it, of course, is important that we recognize what should be a no-brainer, of course, is not always realized by even those who are Christian leaders who just don't dig deep enough into what's taking place in their own backyard, let's say. Anyway, I was looking at Roma Downey because of her financial contribution to Marianne Williamson in the past, and based on an article from Lighthouse Trails, and then I was sharing with you Roma Downey's connection to Oprah Winfrey and John Roger, a New Age guru in the L.A. area. From what I understand, she went to a school. I don't know if it was Malibu or where it was. But anyway, I believe she went to John Roger's school. But I know she was influenced, of course, by she has been influenced by Oprah, by Della Reese, who was very much into neo-Gnostic, a neo-Gnostic cult, which was founded, called Divine Science. And actually, she did her wedding. Della did Roma's wedding. And so, I mean, there's a lot of connections to New Age here. And so when I say I believe she went to the John Rogers School, I'm like 99% sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, you know. But I know she had some connection to John Roger, this New Age guru. And I was reading last week about his book, from his book, Life 101, Teaching Visualization, very similar fashion to Johanna Michelson's experience that she shares in The Beautiful Side of Evil, where she was also involved in visualizing spirits who she thought were real entities, real dead or real living, as in Jesus, entities. But of course, in this case, with her, it was a false Jesus, and she was not... she was misled, but that's, you know, we'll talk more about that later. She even got involved with a psychic surgeon, and in a podcast in the future, I'm going to speak a little bit more about that, pertaining to something that happened recently along that lines. Anyway, I am getting ahead of myself as I have a ton of material I'm trying to get through here tonight. I might be having a little technology problems. I'm hoping that you're able to hear me all right. I always test the podcast when I'm done. But, you know, we live in a technological world, and I'm not really a technological kind of guy. So hopefully everything's coming through fine, and I will find out later, and probably didn't need to say any of that. So Moving right along. I left you after I had read the material from Life 101. I had left you with what I was going to read to you in the Brian Call, which is an excellent newsletter and an excellent organization founded by Dave Hunt. And this is from the January 2019 issue, and it's called Ecumenism Update. And I think it's, you know, regarding what I shared last week, if you weren't with us last week, I talked about this article from Lighthouse Trails and Roma Downey's contribution to New Ager Marianne Williamson and her political aspirations, and those within, evangelicals within the church, who've shown public support for Roma Downey and her books and her movies, etc., without doing their homework, you know, and sad to say. But I've done my homework, and I know there are many others in the world of discernment or in the ministry of discernment who are bold to speak the truth in love because we care. We care about people within the church. We care about people who are lost. God was good to me to keep me out of several different spiritual counterfeits, cults, etc., and I feel that's my life work. And so, without further ado, I want to move on to this article. And again, these are building blocks in bringing in the one world religion, and the New Age movement is a big part of that, and that's why we're talking about this tonight. So, this article, Ecumenism Update. I related, just one more note, I related the Conscious Life Expo, and so we're going to get back to that in a minute, but this, if I had taken an hour last week instead of a half an hour, I could have ended in a little different way, but I left you off waiting for this article. I wanted to read this article to you, and then I'm going to get back to some of the people involved with this Conscious Life Expo, besides Marianne Williamson. And it's a who's who of New Age occultists and various people who really need salvation and who really are leading people astray. So anyway, here's the article. January 2019, I mentioned. What is ecumenism and why should it be updated, says T.A. McMahon. Ecumenism is a movement that began as an attempt to bring about unity within the denominations and groups that call themselves Christians. In the mid 20th century, however, a change took place. Led for the most part by the Roman Catholic Church, expanding the goal of ecumenism to include all religions. That may seem like a worthy objective, but it is neither biblical nor possible. Nevertheless, the movement is alive today and growing exponentially. Yet most Christians do not recognize its deceptive nature. Hence this update. Some would claim that the Bible calls for religious unity. No, it calls for Christians who are true followers of Jesus Christ to unite themselves in the truth of God's word, the faith, once for all delivered to those who have put their trust in Jesus. And of course, that's Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. Now, he says, first, let's consider the religions of the world regarding this hoped for unity. And may I add, we talk about ecumenism in a general way, but also the term interfaith, it should be used here as well, because when you talk about ecumenism, it's usually those who are professing to be Christian, whereas with interfaith, it's for those who are not Christians and those who are claiming to be Christians who want to associate with them. This article is an excellent article, and I really am thankful for the opportunity to share this with you, as it goes hand in hand with what we were sharing last week from the Lighthouse Trails article concerning Roma Downey. So first, let's consider the religions of the world regarding this hope for unity. What might be the basis for that unity? It certainly isn't their belief in God, for their gods are their doctrines. Why not? Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism serve as prime examples. Followers of Judaism worship one God, who calls the Jews his chosen people. And by the way, you know, Brian Call is very pro-Israel, and so am I. Muslims worship Allah, who hates Jews. So, you know, how do you get together with people who are Jews, who claim, you know, they followers of Judaism worship one God, who calls the Jews his chosen people. Muslims worship Allah, who hates Jews. How do you get those folks together? Hindus worship 330 million personal gods, which is really something when you think about it, because they also believe we're all God. We're all part of God. But I'll just leave that for a minute. The supreme deity of Buddhism is an impersonal force that is in everything. Most Jews consider the material world as the epitome of life, while Hindus regard the material world as Maya, an illusion. Muslims strive to get to paradise by doing good works in their lifetime, works that are satisfactory to Allah, with the most acceptable work being jihad, or killing infidels. Hindus and Buddhists strive to reach nirvana, or moksha, a state of perfect happiness, through an endless cycle of deaths and rebirths. These are only a few of the dissimilarities, not similarities, but dissimilarities in the world's diverse religious belief system. Yet they clearly reveal that the popular belief that all paths lead to God is delusionary at best. On the other hand, all the religions of the world will converge into a one-world religion, of course that's what I've been talking about, under the control of the Antichrist, who will be worshipped as God, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 4, and Revelation 13, verse 8, and offers the same godhood to humanity as did Satan in Genesis 3, 5. Look it up, folks. These are all good verses. Of course, all religions must undergo major modifications, especially those that espouse doctrines that don't fit in with the universal acceptance, which is a major part of the Antichrist belief system. You know, can't we all just get along? Well, no, not without some major modifications. Islam, for example, is a religion of coercion and harsh Sharia law legalism, which cannot be reconciled with other religions whose followers are regarded as infidels. Therefore, Islam cannot be included in the religion of the Antichrist and must be eliminated or drastically changed. That will very likely take place when Russia, in association with Muslim nations, attempts to plunder and destroy Israel. God, however, will obliterate the attacking armies in the Battle of Gog and Magog, and that's in Ezekiel 38, verses 18 through 22. And verse 23, God destroys any hope people have in Allah and Islam when he declares, "Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord." The result for over a billion Muslims and others who are affected by God's intervention and his protection of Israel will not turn many of them to the true and living God. Instead, the religion of the Antichrist will simply gain more followers. And I think he's correct. And I also think that what else could possibly happen after Ezekiel 38 and 39, this devastation, why would anybody follow Allah, you know, when Allah will be proven to be false and a God who's obviously not a God, and who the real God, of course, protecting Israel from the followers of Allah. But anyway, ecumenism within Christendom is another story. And that's, of course, the difference between interfaith. He was talking there without using the term. He was talking about interfaith. But ecumenism within Christendom is another story, and includes both professing Christians, not truly committed believers, and born-again Christians. For example, the cults that profess to be Christian, for example, Roman Catholics. And by the way, the author of this article, T.A. McMahon, is a ex-Roman Catholic. He grew up Catholic. So he knows whereof he speaks. So anyway, the cults that profess to be Christian, Roman Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and Christian Scientists do not hold to the biblical gospel, which is mankind's only means of salvation, yet they all call themselves Christian. Ecumenism is not only a major factor in the development of the religion of the Antichrist, but it is also a leading movement that undermines the teachings of the scriptures held by those committed to Christ. It dismisses the warnings given throughout God's word regarding deception. Matthew 24, 4, when Jesus said, "Beware lest any man deceive you." When the apostles wanted to know, what does the future hold, Jesus? First thing he told him before he said anything else, he said, "Beware lest any man deceive you." And he's talking about the end times, of course. So, very interesting. Now, it says, so it dismisses the warnings given throughout God's word regarding deception. and the drifting away from biblical truth, Hebrews 2:1. Moreover, ecumenism's chief cause among believers is declared in 2 Timothy 4:3 through 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So, you know, really, the apostasy, the falling away of the faith. Pretty clear that that is not only going to happen, but we see such things happening in our time. Ecumenism within Christendom over the last 75 years has centered around the involvement of evangelicals, charismatics, and Pentecostals with the Church of Rome. In the 1940s, Billy Graham declared that the three greatest evils in the world of that day were communism, Mohammedanism, which is Islam, and, wait for it, Catholicism. What? Billy Graham said that. A few years later, Graham's crusades were endorsed and financially supported by the Catholic Church. I'm sorry, folks, but this is an inconvenient truth, is it not? Catholics who responded to Graham's gospel appeal were thus directed back to the Roman Catholic Church by nuns and priests who were utilized as counselors. Now, this is where I usually say, I liked the old Billy Graham. I liked the Billy Graham who said, if God does not judge America, he should apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I remember he preached that years ago. And, you know, Billy Graham, and I know people that have been saved through Billy Graham's ministry. Praise God. They were saved by the gospel, of course, the word of God, and Jesus Christ saved them, and through the word they heard. But I guess the point is, Mr. McMahon is, being a former Catholic, you know, he wants to see people saved, just like I do, like any Christian does, Catholic, communists, or Islam, followers of Islam. But this is an inconvenient truth, but it is true, folks. He declared that his theological differences with the Pope were minimal, none involving the essentials of the faith. And again, this sounds like Rick Warren in our modern day time. His favorite TV channel is the Catholic Channel. By the way, I visited in North Carolina the Cove. I believe it's still called the Cove, and that's a place where you can go, and it's Billy Graham, and it has the history of Billy Graham and everything else. And there's a huge picture of him and the Pope of the time, you know, they were really good buddies and all. And, you know, it's okay to be buddies with the Pope as long as you're witnessing to him and trying to get him saved, because if anybody needs to be saved, it's any of the various popes, because Catholicism won't save anyone. As I said before, I believe that if someone in the Catholic Church is saved, it's in spite of the Catholic Church, not because of them. Anyway, this is a long article, so I'm going to keep moving on. Evangelicals and Catholics Together was a movement that called for cooperation in evangelizing the world, which was supported by influential evangelicals, including Chuck Colson and Pat Robertson's. Dave Hunt, by the way, was at that event, Evangelicals and Catholics Together, as were some other great, sound biblical Christian leaders who were concerned about this compromise that was taking place at the time. I'm going to jump ahead in the article. Freemasonry, with its ecumenical gospel that invites all religions into the worship of its supreme God, the great architect of the universe, drew many Christians into its fraternal organization, especially Southern Baptist pastors and their church members. Social and conservative political causes have also motivated Christians to work together for the common good of humanity, regardless of their doctrinal differences. The Moral Majority, organized by Baptist minister Jerry Falwell, worked with Mormons and Sun Myung Moon of the Unification Church in order to achieve a Christian right objectives. And I'm pretty sure worked with the Catholics as well, because I remember those days, by the way. And I've studied a lot, of course, about Reverend Moon and the Mormons. And Reverend Moon financed much of the Moral Majority. It's sad to say. I mean, the idea was, hey, we want to bring conservative values. We want to get people to vote the right people in and all that. And that's great. You know, and that's fine. But you don't need Reverend Moon, you know, to help you. The guy that claimed to be the third Adam, one of the major antichrists of the world. Not any longer. He's gone to his reward. But I say that, of course, facetiously. Maybe he got saved. Let's hope so. But anyway, he was a major antichrist, and You know, God tells us in His Word in the Old Testament, He challenged Israel not to trust in the arm of the flesh. You know, I think it was Egypt that Israel was looking to help defend them against a conquering enemy of theirs there in the Old Testament. God was saying, hey, I can handle this. I got this. Don't trust in the arm of the flesh. So to want to have good conservative values and mount a drive together politically and all that, that's fine. But I would not, you know, what's the old saying is, he who dines with the devil better have a long fork. Don't get too close to the devil. Don't get too close to Reverend Moon or the Mormons with the false Jesus and the false gospel and all of that. Anyway, ecumenism's widespread and rapid increase, however, can especially be accounted for because of the rise of Christian media, including radio and television programs. And you see so much, of course, of false teaching, word of faith teaching, prosperity gospel, etc. My colleague Jackie Elnor has spoken much in this area, and so have others. But it's not a secret, you know, that many have itching ears. In fact, that scripture almost seems to be, a perfect scripture for those that are in the blab it and grab it movement, as they say, the prosperity movement, the word of faith that, you know, you speak it and you get it kind of stuff. Anyway, I want to finish this article, so I'm going to keep moving along. Following the popularity of the best-selling The Seduction of Christianity, Dave Hunt was invited to speak at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in the late 80s. And may I please encourage you, exhort you, if you can get your hands on a copy of The Seduction of Christianity, a book written about 30-some years ago, by all means, get a hold of that book, because Dave was telling us all back then of this apostasy that God told us way back when was coming. But Dave was right on top of it, and that book is very relevant to this day. He also wrote Beyond Seduction, a sequel to The Seduction of Christianity. But by all means, if you can get a copy of that book, get it and read it. So he was invited to speak to at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in the late 80s. Based upon the organization's statement of faith, he expected its leadership to be a watchdog of Christian programming, thereby safeguarding biblical orthodoxy. Since that was clearly not taking place, the Lord put it on Dave's heart to exhort his audience to take personal responsibility for what they allowed to be broadcast on their stations. In his NRB address, he went over what the scriptures had to say about Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred and overthrown the faith of some. 2 Timothy 2:17 through 18. He then posed the question, what if Hymenaeus and Philetus had their own TV or radio show today? Sadly, the answer is they do, though under different names and in a myriad of formats. And of course, there was an example once again of Paul naming names in his day, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and Dave Hunt naming names in our day and in our time. So popular Christian talk shows are overthrowing the faith of far more than some. Dave's message apparently did not please his audience or the NRB officials. He was never invited back. Nearly a decade later, 10 years later, Adrian Rogers, a Southern Baptist pastor, brought a similar concern before the NRB after Dave Hunt's admonishment and exhortation went unheeded. Rogers stated, "It is better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It is better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts and then kills. Let me say, tell you something, friend. It is not love, and it is not friendship if we fail to declare the whole counsel of God. It is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie." And there's where I think of Jeremiah the prophet, who was hated for telling the truth. And there are a few Jeremiahs today living who are willing to stand up and speak the truth in love, though many do not want it, won't hear it. And that is sad, but that is the making of apostasy and what's coming. In 2009, the NRB issued a Declaration of Unity. In reference to this later, it says, the speakers for its upcoming 2019 NRB convention, Proclaim 19, include some big names in evangelical Christianity. I'm going to move because the clock is moving. I'm not going to mention all these different people, but because of time, but it says regardless of what one thinks about these individuals' personality, they all have signed on to support the NRB's alleged Declaration of Unity. this was always concerns me. People want, oh, let's just let's get together, let's all unify, you know, as though most people are true Christians. I hate to say it, but I believe most Christians are not. Most people are not true Christians that profess to be. I don't say that as an elitist or looking down on anybody. It's just that's the nature and the state of the church these days. That's the apostasy that we're seeing, I believe. Goes on to say, collectively they represent a mixed bag of true and false doctrines, yet they seemingly have no concerns regarding appearing together, which is what ecumenism is all about. Now, I will mention, I've already mentioned Rick Warren last week, and I think this week. The Warrens have promoted one heresy after another, from celebrate recovery to occult meditation to mysticism to overtures with Islam and to insistently supporting Roman Catholicism. I mentioned Greg Laurie before, so I'm going to mention him again. I couldn't mention all the other people because of the time, but I mentioned the concerns for Greg. An NRB Hall of Famer is seemingly oblivious to Warren's heresies and has joined with him on many occasions, including the Harvest Crusades. The point of all this is that the NRB convention strongly conveys the message that doctrinal concern and biblical accuracy are really not critical in view of the overriding need for religious unity. That ecumenical mindset was reflected in the words of Rick Warren when he exhorted a gathering of diverse religious leaders in Davos, Switzerland. Can't we all just get along? From there, he moved quickly to working together with them to solve the world's problems of spiritual emptiness, according to Warren's Global Peace Plan, P-E-A-C-E plan. The NRB has also become the chief marketplace for the promotion of Hollywood's attempts at interpreting the Bible. And I say all this because, of course, this gets to Roma Downey. Catholic New Ager Roma Downey, producer of Son of God and AD The Bible Continues for NBC, corrupted the scriptures in every frame. Nevertheless, she was given the platform to speak at the 2016 NRB convention. Other NRB promotions include faith-based movies with serious doctrinal problems such as Heaven is for Real, produced by T.D. Jakes and Devin Franklin, a popular speaker at NRB. Franklin is a motivational speaker and a Seventh-day Adventist, which, of course, is a cult. And then finally, I'm out of time, so let me finish with one paragraph. So what's to be done to turn back the flood of ecumenism that will culminate in the religion of Antichrist? Nothing globally. Nothing, perhaps, even for Christian organizations of ministries or ministries, unless a work of the Holy Spirit brings about conviction that leads to repentance. Individually, however, everything, if we begin with a heart that has a love for the truth. So, excellent article, I believe, and I'm out of time.